Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Where are we with phase one, phase two? It does get a bit confusing. We do know that there are two slain hostages who have not been returned to Israel. What does that mean? We are joined this morning by Ariel Whitman, and he is the editor of the op-ed section. He's a reporter at Globes, and he's no stranger to listeners on Chai FM. Ariel, good morning. Shavua Tov. I hope you're well.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
I am good, thank you. So first of all, where the ceasefire deal brokered, quite a while back, foresaw a phased plan to transition Gaza away from war. The first phase, of course, meant the returning of living and non-living hostages. Two of those have not been returned. What does this mean practically to the ceasefire and the plan?
So we are at the last point of the, I guess, phase one, which was to release all the hostages, living and dead, and deceased. So we have two more hostages left. One is Ran Gavili, a soldier. The other one is a foreign worker that was working, if I'm not mistaken, in the fields in the Gaza envelope. And Hamas and the Islamic Jihad are basically slow walking this and saying that they can't find the bodies and they're looking and they can't find it. As I understand it, the Israelis believe that they know pretty much where they are and they're not giving them back up on purpose because they want to buy time. The reason why they want to buy time is that once they give back all the hostages, and they're really on their last two, so it's about to, it's this and then it's over, then they would have to go to the next phase, which is them demilitarizing, giving up their weapons, and in some cases being let out of Gaza to other places if the deal will be complete. And so they don't want to do that. They don't want to demilitarize. It's all a joke for them. It was all a stall tactic. They want to reorganize, remilitarize. And so we're at we're soon going to be either now or in a few weeks, whenever I assume they will return the two deceased hostages, we'll be at a crossroads and we'll have to decide as Israel what we do when Hamas doesn't give up the weapons. I just interviewed Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State and head of CIA of the first Trump administration, and he said, just as Jason Greenblatt, the former Middle East envoy, what Steve Witkoff is today in the first administration, they both told me that they think that the IDF will have to go back into Gaza to destroy Hamas. And so we're in a situation where, but we could also not go in, and that's a decision that can be made. But that not going in will mean that down the line,
it goes back to status quo. Then, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
It doesn't.
So right now. Yeah, right now Israel controls about 50% of the Gaza Strip. According to Channel 12, the IDF from last night, the IDF believes that it has pretty much destroyed all of Hamas infrastructure inside what's called the yellow line.
Right.
And so pretty much Hamas has no weapons there, they think, or not significant amounts. There was 300 Hamas terrorists stuck in a tunnel in Rafah, which Israel controls as part of the deal. They're pretty much all dead. Yesterday, I think another six more were killed when they came up for air and food. And they were like the leaders, according to Israel. And so basically at this point, the yellow line has been cleaned up, so to speak. And now we're at a point where Israel needs to decide at some point. And most Israelis obviously don't want to go back in. But most Israelis don't either want to live with Hamas on their doorstep. So it's a very... and also one other thing that we have to put on the table. As part of the deal of the 20-point Trump plan was that there would be armies of different Arab and local regional countries that would send their soldiers into Gaza. Yes, but no one really believes, which was a lie to whoever... To the world, or let's say a white truth, like a half truth.
Right.
No, none of these soldiers are going into fight Hamas. right? No, the UAE is not sending its soldiers to literally go house-to-house combat with Hamas terrorists. Egypt won't either, and no country will. No country that's sane will send its soldiers to another area to die fighting Hamas. And so, realistically, the only army in the world that's going to fight Hamas to actually defeat it is the IDF. And so all of these things that we've been sold, that once the deal is signed and the hostages are back, there will be other armies and we'll be able to take. It's a lie. The only country in the world, the only army in the world that will be fighting Hamas is the IDF. And only once these countries believe that Hamas has been defeated, that there is no danger to their soldiers from Hamas, only then will they send soldiers. And so, whatever anyone tells you, don't believe it. It's a lie. None of these countries wanted to get their soldiers dead because of Hamas. So I think that's what we have to put on the table.
What is the position of Qatar at the moment? Because we know that they're saying, well, in terms of the two bodies, don't let that stand in the way. But which is okay, fine for them to say. But what does it mean? Never mind that. What does that indicate, rather, about their position? Because at one stage, they seemed to be pressurizing or appeared to be pressurizing Hamas towards this resolution. Now, to me, it doesn't seem so clear.
Well, yeah, I think the reason why they were pushing at the beginning was because they were really worried that once Israel attacked them, that they weren't safe anymore, and there was a panic to get to some deal to stop everything. And they got to the deal. They pushed Hamas to agree to the first part, for sure. And now that the deal and there's no fighting, why would they? Why they're pushing to, keep things to buy for time. They're all pushing to buy for time. Everyone who's a little bit close to Hamas, like the Turks also, for example, he keeps the there's an issue also that Turkey wants to send soldiers to Gaza. Israel is refusing because we know who controls Turkey. And we know that they've funneled the money to different entities in Gaza that, to put it mildly, aren't friends of Israel. And so Turkey also is like playing this double game where they're saying, we don't want fighting to continue. But even if Hamas pretty much goes back on the next phases of the deal, we also don't want the fighting to continue. So we want Hamas to have, n we want no leverage on Hamas to come to the table on the other parts of the deal, because the only leverage on these terrorists is if they know their heads will be separated from their necks and if they don't comply. And if there's no leverage like that, then there's no reason for them to comply with the deal. And then we're stuck with Hamas 5 minutes away from Be'eri and from Nir Oz and from all these other places that we all know what that means. And so we are, and by the way, all these kibbutzim pretty much have been people are living there again. And I
Repopulating,
wonder,
yeah.
a lot of these people won't want to live, a lot of people won't want to live in Be'eri anymore if they know that Hamas is still there and that the IDF is not going to fight them and make sure that they're not there. And so it's a very big dilemma. I'm not sure what we can expect, but we'll see.
That is where we leave it, Ariel Whitman. Thank you for a very, very real and sobering perspective on where to from here.